I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, you spoiled rotten sports fans. And I include myself in that. Spoiled rotten. Oh my gosh, we have three winner-take-all games in the first full four series of the Major League Baseball playoffs. We three times get to experience all the drama and the tension and the heart palpitations and the pressure of an elimination game for each team. You win, you play on. You lose, sayonara. Time for the long winter's nap. I could use a nap. I'm sure many of you could use a nap. In fact, when I walked in the doors to our building tonight, both of the security guards were taking a nap. They were both laying back in their chairs with their heads on the back of their chairs, and one of them had his mouth open. Yeah, I was a little bit jealous. Jealous of my dog when she's asleep before I leave the house. And jealous of the security guards who are downstairs taking naps. One of them managed to stir. He sort of woke up. Oh, hello, Amy. And then opened the gate for me. So I didn't have to hop the gate. But still, it's like the power of suggestion, right? You know when there's running water and you have to go to the bathroom? Sucks. Or when someone yawns. That's the worst for me. Oh my gosh, when I was a kid, my brother used to fake yawn and simulate yawning when we were on road trips. And it's awful. It's like torture. I would yawn so many times that I'd have tears running down my face and my cheeks and my jaw would hurt. He's so mean. Anyway, so the power of suggestion when someone else is sleeping. Oof. It makes me want to sleep. But it also comes with the territory. And so that's where we come in, infusing your second and third shifts with energy, infusing your night with some excitement. I mean, I'll do my best. I will readily admit there are times when I am not exciting at all. My life isn't exciting. I just play someone exciting on the radio. It is our hump show, and we're glad that you are on board. We got some fun stuff planned for you tonight and some questions that have no answers, of course. Like, what is Richard Sherman talking about? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. From the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, they found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, even before I've had a chance to mention it on the radio. Some of you have already read my new column, which is actually just as cool for this girl as it is that you listen to me on CBS Sports Radio, because writing is not something that comes naturally to me. I have a lot to say, but I get really stressed out about getting it down on the computer or, you know, on a piece of paper. I actually write by hand my CBS Sports Minutes. And so I feel extra pressure when I'm writing. And when I'm tired, I always end up with writer's block too. Oh, you guys wouldn't believe the things that I can do to procrastinate when I'm not focused in on the writing. But the columns seem to get done anyway. Sometimes the deadline gets pushed a little bit. But I'm so glad that you found the column. Thank you very much. I actually wrote about something that we talked about on last night's show, which is this idea of rebuilding and being patient and sticking to the plan and sticking to the program, and how the 49ers are essentially where the Cleveland Browns want to be. Why do I know you care? Well, because all day long, while I was awake writing and then following baseball, you all were still responding to my question about the Cleveland Browns. Yet rebuilding is not fun. No one said it was fun, but there's a big picture. There's a goal in mind. Anything worth having is worth sacrificing for. Anything worth having comes with a price. Comes with a cost. And a lot of times, that's time. It's patience. It's having to wait. But waiting is not a waste. And so when I wrote this column, which I'll talk about a little bit later on, I shared it with my mom, as always, because she knows nothing about football except for maybe one or two quarterbacks in the NFL. And she likes to read the columns anyway. And she wrote back, it's just like math. I guarantee you, Mom, no one else is going to have that reaction to my column. It's just like math. So you can find me and the column on Twitter or on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. How do you feel? Sometimes I think I am the resident radio psychologist. We offer cathartic opportunities to bear your soul, sports fans. So how do you feel about these three winner-take-all games in Major League Baseball? I can imagine if you're a Dodgers fan or an Astros fan or I don't know, Braves versus Cardinals. That one seems pretty easy, even to me. This is also what happens on Hump Show. I think one word and a different one comes out of my mouth. It's a really even series. I wouldn't say there's an overwhelming favorite, but that's just me. I don't look at lines. I don't know what Vegas thinks is going to happen. But the two teams to this point have been extremely even. Now, the Braves were there a year ago, and they do have the home field advantage. So maybe those two things make them a bit of a favorite. But that series has been really tight the entire time. I mean, there were moments when it looked as though the Astros and the Dodgers would make quick work of their opponents, and yet they haven't. And we're talking about two teams with 107 and 106 wins. The top two teams in their respective leagues who are now on the ropes. And if that's a little bit too dramatic, well, at the very least, they're being pushed to the limit. And so there's all kinds of emotions, not just for the pitchers and the batters and the managers and the coaches, but also for the fans. And I think if I'm an Astros or a Dodgers fan, feel a little bit of pressure, feeling a little bit of nerves. So coming up in 30 minutes, a former World Series champ to talk about it, to work through our feelings, and also to talk about the pitching. Jeff Blum is a TV analyst with the Astros now. He played for the Astros when he was in the majors, as well as a handful of other teams. He won a World Series with the White Sox in 2005 after joining them post-trade deadline. So it'll be cool to have Jeff on the show again. We're looking forward to that 30 minutes from now, After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. This was something Justin Verlander had never done before. He had never started on 3 days rest after a full start. Okay, so regular routine, opener of the series, Justin Verlander, phenomenal and dominant, yet so typical of what we've seen from him this season. Well, he's never turned around and pitched 3 days later after a full start. But this is what AJ Hinch and his staff felt like was the best option. And he's Justin Verlander. He's a bulldog. He always wants the ball. He could have written the book, Give Me the Damn Ball, that Keyshawn Johnson wrote. Because that's him. That's who he is, which is one of the reasons why he's such an asset to the pitching staff and why he's been so clutch for the Astros since they traded for him in 2017. But it was pretty evident early on that this wasn't the Justin Verlander that we've seen most of the season.
The 2-2 pitch. Launch toward left. Back at it is Brantley. He looks up. It's 1-0 Rays! Tommy Pham homers here. Two batters in, and the Rays take a 1-0 lead here in the bottom of the first. The 2-1. Breaking ball grounded toward the hole. Into left field for a base hit. Up with it is Brantley. Here comes Troy around third. He will score. 2-0 Rays here in the first.
Out of the windup, the veteran right-hander deals. There's a high drive deep in the air, left center field. Brantley turns and looks. It's gone! Home run! Willy Adames is homered again, and the Rays have a 4-0 lead.
Andy Freed and Dave Wills on the Tampa Bay Rays radio network. They jumped on Verlander early and often in that first inning, plating three runs. And then later on, Willy Adames added a solo home run as well. So Tommy Pham was the first, just two batters in. And Verlander had to really grind just to get through the 3 2/3 innings that he managed. So he allowed 4 runs on 7 hits and 3 walks. So the walks also tell you something. It's not just about the hits that he gave up. It's also about the walks. And he just didn't look like the Justin Verlander that we have seen. Like Dave said it well before the show. He didn't look sharp. He wasn't locating his pitches as crisply as he normally does. And in his words after the game, it sucks.
Really good approach for those guys in the first. And then, you know, honestly, I need those infield singles to be caught. When you don't have it, you need the balls that are put in play on the ground to go your way. And they didn't.
So his location was a bit off, but the Rays' location was perfect. Exactly where the fielders were not. And so Justin Verlander on the short rest refuses to blame the short rest, even though he is in his late 30s. And instead, he talked about how his slider was off. And then that's really the issue for him. But forget how it happened or why it happened. The fact is, it happened. And now the Tampa Bay Rays are 3-0 in elimination games in a week. How crazy is that? And what does that mean for a clubhouse? Well, we'll ask Jeff Blum when he joins us. But remember, they went to Oakland for the American League wild card just 7 days ago. So last Wednesday evening. And then they faced elimination in game number 3. They were on the verge of being swept. And then they faced elimination again tonight. And yet, here they are, still standing. And Kevin Kiermaier, after the game, tweeting in all caps, "I love this team! What a night!" He's definitely one of the best post-game interviews when the Rays win. I love to hear what he has to say.
It's incredible. It is. We've used that word a lot lately, and this is just another notch in the belt for all of us, showing how much of that resiliency we have. I'm not speaking for everyone. I've never had more fun playing baseball in my life. This is what it's all about.
I love that from Kevin Kiermaier. I've never had more fun playing baseball in my whole life. This is what it's all about. Oh, yes, this is what it's all about. That post-game interview on Fox Sports Florida. And we'll hear more from Kevin Cash and the clubhouse for the Rays, and also hear from the Astros. They've earned the right to host Game 5 at Minute Maid Park. It will be a mob scene, no doubt. And they have Gerrit Cole starting. So maybe I'm the only one who's nervous for Game 5s. Maybe nobody else is. Maybe you Astros and Dodgers fans and Braves fans are feeling uber confident. But man, here's the deal. In a game 5, in a winner take all, whether it's a game 7 in the NBA, whether it's a baseball division series, whatever it is, in one game, anything can happen. Bring it. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'm excited. This week is incredible. I mean, it's a lot of work, so, you know, I'm a little bit tired too. But it's awesome. Week 5 in the NFL. Then we go right into a Monday with 4 potential elimination games and another football game. And then we have an elimination game on Tuesday. Three full game 5s ahead, but 2 of them on Wednesday, another one on Thursday, plus football on Thursday. Did I tell you October is a whirlwind? You should know. Now you will believe me. All right, we're just getting started. It's our hump show. If you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, super easy to do. Either send them to us on Twitter or post them on our Facebook page. I don't have any questions for myself, but I have questions for you. So let's go. Let's hop to it. This will be a service. One for one. I'll ask you a question. You ask me a question. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Snell ready with the runners leading at second and third. The 1-2. Swinging a line drive back up the middle. Right there is Wendell. He has it. Throws the first. Rays win! Rays win! Rays win! They beat the Astros by a score of 4-1. Have evened up this series at 2 games apiece. And Houston, we're on our way back.
All of our guys saw the ball better than maybe what we did in Houston. But G-Man, he's got that patient approach. He fouled off, fought off a lot of pitches. Two or three walks. Just impressive ABs from top to bottom.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Kevin Cash, manager of the Rays, talking about his lineup and really the top four in his, well, taking out Austin Meadows. He had a rough night, 4 strikeouts. But Tommy Pham in the 2-hole was 3-for-5 with the home run off Justin Verlander in the opening frame. G-Man Choi was 1-for-2 and managed to secure 3 walks. And that's difficult to do against a Verlander or against a pitcher at this level in a playoff series. 3 walks to be that patient. And then Garcia ends up with 4 hits out of the 5 at-bats that he takes. And so the Rays lineup, as Kevin Cash pointed out, really had some success the last 2 nights at home. Can they now take it on the road to Minute Maid Park in the pressure-packed environment of an elimination affair? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. The Houston Astros certainly have experience in this arena. So I just talked about the Rays. This group of Rays winning 3 elimination games in the past week alone. They had to get through the wild card just to make it into this ALDS. But is that the same pressure? I guess there are some similar elements, but a Game 7 of a World Series? I mean, the Astros, over the past several years, they're trying to get to the 3rd straight ALCS. But really, over the past 5 years, we're talking about some of the most intense, tension-filled situations that you can possibly imagine in Major League Baseball. And that includes a Game 7 of the World Series on the road. And so, as you can imagine, some of them, this is familiar. Maybe it doesn't fit quite as comfortably as your favorite pair of sweatpants. My mom says the old ones are the best ones, or your broken-in pair of slippers or shoes. But at least you have a frame of reference to go back to. And so guys like Justin Verlander, Josh Reddick, I mean, this is not going to be foreign to them.
Definitely not concerned. Probably more frustrated than anything. You know, even we've been watching, you know, some tough at-bats off ourselves and watching those guys over there have some really good at-bats. And just seems like everything's magnified because these guys, they seem to make all the plays. And, you know, when they're not hitting the ball out of the park, their ball's falling everywhere. And then we hit one hard and it just doesn't seem to work out.
This is why you play. I mean, obviously, we would have loved to have won a game here. We didn't. We have home field. We're going home. We have another opportunity. So, and we have Gerrit Cole on the mound, and we have an incredible lineup. So, sure, I like that we've been there before, but I haven't liked any elimination game. I mean, it's no fun to go through. You like to eliminate when you have an opportunity.
Heart palpitations. I had forgotten. I mean, you think, oh, October, there's all the craziness of playoff series. But then you start to watch the games, and even when you have no rooting interest, just as a plain old boring fan, I can still feel that tension in my gut and start to get nervous and an increased heart rate over watching these games. And so that's what we're going to put ourselves through. That's what we signed up for in the next few days with the Astros and the Rays Thursday, but a doubleheader. It's kind of fun. Oh, now that we're through the football weekend, yes, I love football, but there's a lot that goes into it. So it'll be kind of fun on Wednesday with no football and no football to write about, to wake up, walk the dog, get some coffee, start watching baseball. That sounds like fun for a Wednesday. And so we'll talk about the Cardinals and the Braves in Atlanta. That's the early game. And also about the Nationals and the Dodgers, the second half of that doubleheader. We'll preview those. We'll let you hear from the pitchers as well as from the managers, just so that you're set and you have all the tools and the info, the deets that you need. But yeah, the next two nights of baseball are going to be cool. And I feel like I forgot who Thursday Night Football is. Is it Patriots Giants? No. Is it? Okay, well, yay for Daniel Jones. But I don't know if you're thinking about the Patriots offense in the last game. So the last 2 weeks, they've had one real good half of offense. Struggled against the Bills. It took them a while against the Redskins to get into a groove. Nothing like throwing against the Giants secondary to get you back into a nice rhythm. So maybe that game is compelling. That would be awesome. Or maybe you'll be able to focus all of your attention on game five between the Rays and the Astros. Thank you, Tom Brady. Although I feel like that could be considered taunting. But I guess you're not going to be running up the sidelines at 22 miles per hour and waving at anyone. So, you know, we'll allow it. Okay, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You'll hear from Tom Brady a little bit later in our QB news, because we got a lot to get to even as we prep for week six. Also on our Facebook page, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. One more elimination game that I want to mention, and that is from the WNBA Finals. The Connecticut Sun edged the Mystics in their game four on Tuesday night, and we nearly had the first triple-double in finals history. Alyssa Thomas of the Sun, 17 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds. So the Sun were also facing an elimination game. And listen to this. You want to talk about pressure. Blew a 16-point halftime lead. And so the Mystics come roaring back and actually opened up a 5-point lead in the final quarter. So the Connecticut Sun go from being 16 up to 5 down. However, backs against the wall. I love that cliche in sports. They were able to respond. So now they go to a winner-take-all game coming up on Thursday night in D.C., I mentioned this last night, just the number of sports things, such a technical term, the number of sports stories and headlines coming out of the D.C. area, WNBA Finals, and neither of these teams has ever won a title before, so it will be a first-time champ. The Washington Nationals trying to upset the Dodgers. Now, that one's in Los Angeles, but that comes up on Wednesday, their game five. And then Jay Gruden getting fired, Bill Callahan getting promoted. Who the heck knows about the starting quarterback? Just all kinds of stuff as the Redskins are 0-5. So, yeah, it's never a dull moment. That's for darn sure.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Anderson ready with a 1-0. Here's a swing and a sharp line drive. Caught by Choi. Goes to the bag. They double up Springer. Two gone. The line-out double play goes three unassisted. And Springer, who reached on the single, got caught off the bag. And as the old saying goes, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Well, when you're lucky and good, that's a pretty good combination. Two out.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Tampa Bay Rays radio network, just like the clubhouse and the dugout, they are enjoying this ride. The Rays now 3-0 in elimination games over the past week, and that includes both 3-4 of the American League Division Series against the Astros. We are now set up for a winner-take-all game and a spot in the ALCS come Thursday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Really pleased to welcome our own favorite World Series champ, longtime baseball infielder, now a member of the Houston Astros TV crew. And Jeff Blum, it's great to have a few minutes. I know you're watching this game carefully. And right now, Kevin Kiermaier, he's one of these guys that just kind of expressing that excitement and tweeting, I love this team, and all the emotions that come along with this. What does the winning of an elimination game, and in the case of the Rays, winning three of them in a last week, do for a clubhouse?
It does wonders. It gives you that belief, and that's sometimes all you need. And I think, you know, a lot of the quotes that we're hearing from Kevin Kiermaier and some of the other guys in that opposing clubhouse is, you know, all you need is a ticket. And that's all you hear, you know, throughout the playoffs is just give us an opportunity, put us on the field, and let us go out there and figure it out on the field. And when you are in these, not, you know, if it was a one and done type situation, the Astros would be moving on. It's not like the NFL, where you have one game and you move on. You have a series, and it allows the opposing team to go out and figure things out. And it also allows both teams to take advantage of that home field advantage. And right now it's in the Astros' favor, and hopefully it pays off for them in Game 5.
What did you see from Justin Verlander on the mound in Game 4?
I saw a guy that was under a lot of pressure pitching on 3 days' rest, and it was interesting to me in doing some of the research and seeing that he had only done it twice. Once in the regular season and once in the postseason, and that postseason appearance was an eight-inning outing where he gave up 4 runs and struck out 11. So the numbers told you that he had the durability to go out there, and the opportunity was there for the Astros to try and take a stranglehold on this series. And they decided, you know, A.J. Hinch, Brent Strom sat down and said, what's our better option, Justin Verlander on 3 days' rest or Jose Urquidy and some of the guys in our bullpen? And I, you know, before the game, I said, I think this is the best option. But when Verlander went out there, he made some mistakes. And to the Tampa Bay Rays' credit, they took advantage of those mistakes. And again, you know, he's pitching on a short rest, but also the opposing team is seeing him in 3 days. So that memory of what he did in Minute Maid Park is still fresh in their mind, and they made the adjustment.
How much does that help as a former hitter yourself? How much does it help when you've had some practice in the batter's box, some reps against the same guy?
I think it means a lot because you have a tendency to kind of take mental notes on how a guy was getting you out or how in certain counts what pitch he would go to, or if he was behind an account and you knew this pitcher needed a strike, what would he go to? And, you know, that really sits with you and allows you to maybe anticipate the next time you see him. And you see it throughout the course of the season too, when a team matches up against a pitcher 1 week and then the next week they face him again. And usually they make the adjustment, they hit the ball a little bit harder, but it's on the pitcher to be able to make that adjustment. And we didn't see that from Justin Verlander tonight, just in the sense that he had the stuff because the velocity was impressive to me at 95, 96, but I didn't really see that sharp bite on the breaking ball and the slider. And I was a little curious about some of the changeups he threw tonight too.
Longtime MLB infielder and now Astros analyst Jeff Blum with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. What has stood out about the Rays and the way they've played and kind of fought against the Astros in the series?
I think what's been most impressive is their ability to fight in these at-bats, because, you know, you keep hearing some of the Astro pitchers talking about the fact, you know, I think it was Gerrit Cole tonight in some of his interviews saying, you know, leading into Game 5, saying how he's watching these at-bats, and these guys are tenacious. They fight. Even if they do have a tendency to chase outside the zone, they're doing a good enough job to foul the pitch off and extend at-bats. They're not swinging and missing outside the zone, even though the Astros are throwing them some tough pitches. And I think it may be frustrating what the Astros pitchers are trying to do, because they came into this game, or I think they finished with 57 strikeouts in a series so far, which means they're getting the swing and miss, but I think it's taking them a little bit longer to get there, and the Rays are doing a better job of fighting off pitches and forcing the Astro pitchers into situations where they maybe leave that mistake out over the plate and they benefit from it. And we're seeing them drive the ball out of the ballpark a lot in these postseason games, which is also something that I don't think they anticipated.
You've had a chance all season to see the work of Justin Verlander, but also of Gerrit Cole. I mean, what incredible campaigns the two of them had. And so now Gerrit is going to turn around and regular rest and pitch in game number 5. How would you describe the season that he had for the Astros?
Oh, man. You know what? When he broke out of camp, what we saw last year was pretty impressive. And then we sat back and what is he going to do for an encore in that Astro uniform? And the first 2 months, I believe in March, April, he had a 3.95 ERA. And for the most of May, he had a 4+ ERA. And then from May 22nd on, he went undefeated. So he turned the corner, made the adjustment. I think early on he was getting some bad luck, and I think early on there were some pitch mechanic issues where he was leaving pitches out over the plate, and they were getting hit pretty hard. And then May 22nd rolled around, and that start really changed things for him, and it turned him into this angry behemoth on the mound where he realized that he had the stuff to literally demoralize opposing offenses. And he went out there and overwhelmed the league there on out. And it was really incredible to watch him do that because he got frustrated early on, but he made the adjustment and then really found a groove and just maintained it. Watch the guy maintain a groove like that over 20 starts is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about the kind of consistency where it was almost automatic that he was going to get to double-digit strikeouts. So as a hitter, what's your approach to a guy who's locked into a groove like that?
It's funny you ask that because all of the numbers that Gerrit Cole put up this season were matching up with 1999 and 2000 Pedro Martinez or Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling of 2000, 2001. And I had the misfortune of facing all three of those guys. And what they were doing at the time, it was absolutely mind-boggling, the stuff that they had, the talent they had, and the mentality and the way they went out and attacked each at bat. So as a hitter, you kind of had to narrow it down. There was no way to go out there against a Randy Johnson and say, I'm going to try and hit his fastball and slider. There was no way to go out against Curt Schilling and say, I'm going to attack the fastball, slider, and split. And Pedro Martinez had four A-plus pitches at the time. And so you kind of had to narrow it down and just say, look, this guy's got four pitches to get me out. Which one am I going to compete against that will give me the best opportunity to try and make something happen? And for me, it was the changeup off of Pedro Martinez. It was the fastball off Curt Schilling and the fastball off Randy Johnson. So I had to pick my strength against his strength and hope that he made a mistake. Hopefully I didn't miss it either.
Yeah, it's a bit of a guessing game, but also trying, as you talk about, trying to take the percentages, the, you know, where you might have the best advantage. Jeff Plum of Astros TV, of course, a longtime infielder himself with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. We may see Charlie Morton in Game 5. I kind of feel like that's something that we should expect. And you had a chance, and Astros fans are really familiar with him, had a chance to watch him as part of that World Series team 2017. And now he's become the guy, the man for their closeout games. What makes him so difficult to face?
Yeah, the Tampa Bay Rays should be very appreciative of what the Astros turned Charlie Morton into, because he was another guy that the Astros took, turned into this 95-plus mile an hour guy with a power curveball. But I think what makes Charlie Morton more frightening to me, and to your point about him pitching in Game 5, he may not go out there and start it, but the worry for Astro fans, if they're really paying attention, is Charlie Morton may close out that Game 5. And the memory of Charlie Morton in an Astro uniform is, guess what? Him closing out Game 7 of the World Series, or Game 6 or whatever it was, in Dodger Stadium, and closing out the World Series in 2017. So he's got experience in clinching games. He's got experience in high-pressure situations. And Charlie Morton's demeanor absolutely fits the role of a guy who you can put into a high-leverage situation, and he may not be overwhelmed by it. He's not a guy who actually thrives on it, but he's not a guy that's overwhelmed by it. He just approaches the situation at hand and does the best he can to get outs, and luckily he has the stuff to do it.
I know this is going to be a game that's in Houston, which certainly helps with all the crazy fans at Minute Maid and that atmosphere. But what kind of emotions are there for a winner-take-all game like this when you've poured so much into not just the season, but now a series? We're not talking about a one-game wild card where the adrenaline's crazy. We're talking about a series that you've put everything into. So how does it feel when you get out there on the field?
It's a little bit exhausting, but at the same time, you've got to go out there with the mentality of, I'm not looking forward to the championship series. All I have are the next four at-bats that I have. If you're a pitcher, all I have are the next, you know, three, four innings or whatever the expectation is for that pitcher when he comes in the game. So you literally have to put everything you have into that moment, and hopefully you exhaust your talent and your ability to go out there and get outs and help your team win, because if you do not, you're going to look back and be very ashamed that you didn't go out there and do that if it ends up being a loss. So this game five in Houston is going to be amazing because they've already won 62 games now, I think, at home and throughout the course of the regular season and postseason for the Houston Astros. So it bodes well for them. And with the roof on top of that thing, having been a fan and broadcast some games in there, it's going to be incredibly loud. So hopefully these guys feed off it because you're right, it is going to be intense.
Is there any advantage to the Astros having been through a bunch of these now in the last several years, including the World Series?
You know what? I haven't had a chance to really research the data, but I always feel that, you know, the underdog has nothing to lose kind of mentality for the Tampa Bay Rays helps them out, because if they lose, then everybody's going to say, yeah, see, we told you the Astros were going to win it. And then on the Astros side, you have that mentality of we're supposed to win, so does it make it tougher for them? But I think them being at home is going to be a little bit of a comfort zone for them. I know they're on the plane back right now, so they'll have a full day off on Wednesday to be able to regroup, reconnect, recharge, and hopefully go out there and make things happen on Thursday evening when they go out and play that game. But it's an interesting dynamic because you could take both sides depending on what clubhouse you're in.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.